Hi, I'm Norm Shealy. NormShealy.com. You are listening to Infinite Consciousness, your infinite access to the world
of the mind.
This is Eva Herr, and tonight I have with us Susan Harrow, and we're going to talk about her book, big, thick, fabulous book, The Ultimate Guide to Getting Booked on Oprah. How are you, Susan?
I'm great. I'm excited to be talking about this. Oprah's in Australia, and everybody's so excited about that, and, you know, her sort of, she's making a huge splash all over the world, as always.
That's what I was about to say, as always. tell us, before we get started, tell us a little bit about you and where people can find you and buy this book, and also where they can buy your book, How to Get Published in O Magazine.
It's PRSecrets.com, like publicrelationssecrets.com. And really what I did is I wrote this book, The Ultimate Guide to Getting Booked on Oprah, because people didn't understand what it takes to be on the show. So when I started training this at the Learning Annex, people would say to me, one of two things, thank you so much, Susan, because now I know what it takes to be on Oprah, or I'm totally not ready and I need to get prepared. So it's really 10, there's one that's 10 steps, one that's 15 steps, to take you through exactly what you need before you ever approach Oprah. And then once you approach Oprah's team of producers or the editors at the magazine, exactly how to format your proposal or your pitch to them. And then once you get on the show, how to maximize that so you actually bring in the kind of business partnerships and experiences that you want, because that's an art in itself. Does that make sense?
Yes. And how did you ever learn all of this? I mean, this book is 3 or 4 inches thick. How did you learn all of this?
Well, I started out as a publicist, so I booked people on shows like Oprah. And what I found was that there was a couple of missing links. The first one is that people didn't know how to package themselves properly for the media. And that's number one. PR is all about packaging and perception. So I started packaging them in such a way that was the way that the media wanted to see them. And one of those things is that you have to think in terms of what the media wants and what their audience wants, not what you want. So you have to think of terms of what you're going to give versus what you're going to get. What does the audience need that I have? That's number one. Number two, it's got to be connected to something that's going on in the culture today that's of importance to people. And when it's Oprah, it's got to be important to her audience. What do they care about desperately that you have that you're going to share? And then the third thing is that you've got to show that you're the right guest to talk about this kind of information, that it's you and only you that can speak to this topic with authority and with ease and with being your authentic self. And while that sounds crazy because people go, well, of course I'm my authentic self and I'm natural and all of this, it actually takes a lot of practice to be natural when there's a TV in your face, when there's flashing lights, when there's a countdown, and then when there's hundreds of people in the audience and there's millions of people watching you and the pressure's on.
So you talked about being authority. How do you know if you really are the authority you think you are?
Well, that's a fascinating question. I just heard a woman talking on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, and they said she's a lawyer, and he said, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, aren't all lawyers evil? And she said, well, most people who are evil don't think they are. Some people who think they're an authority aren't. One of the ways that you are an authority is that you have a following, that people are hanging on your every word, that you have thousands of subscribers to your e-zine like you do. You have a radio show where you've appeared in the media, so people are anticipating what you're saying and they're interested in what you have to say because maybe you're a trendsetter, you've got an important thing to say about your topic. And then the third thing is when I talked about perception and how important that is, the third thing is perception, meaning if you've been interviewed by the media and you've been quoted in the media, you're immediately begun to be seen as an authority, whether you are or not. So, for example, one of my clients she's very young, very smart, and wanted to be an authority on body image, and she didn't have the credentials to back it up, meaning she did not yet have the experiences where she had brought people to a conclusive place in her workshops where she could definitively say, you know, people's body image shifted, these are the results they've had. But what we did is we packaged her so well that we used other people's research that she could quote and other people's authority that she could ride on, that she could discuss in order to position her as an expert before she actually was one. So that's one way that you can, by collecting other people's information, begin to assimilate that and add to it as your own. And this is someone who was very smart and rose very, very quickly, partly through our PR packaging.
And is that something you did?
Yes, very consciously, because I realized we don't have a hat to hang on for her. We don't have the kind of results that I was talking about, like that we could actually say that here's what's happened after people work with her. So what we could say was that here's the information that she knows that's very important that she can disseminate in a different way to the audience. And the topic was very hot, so we got her a lot of national publicity, and her star began to rise. We also packaged her. I sent her to a really excellent photographer because her pictures were not professional. And she needed to be stepped up image-wise as well for the media. So that was part of the packaging. It's really the whole package. It's everything you do, say, are, and think needs to be in alignment before you ever approach the media. And that means from your words to your website.
Must you be a beautiful person?
Inside. But that's not necessarily, it's best if you're a beautiful person inside and it shines outside, and then you need to get the, it's just technique to get the outside to match. That's much easier to get, you know, the hair and makeup done by a professional. That's way easier than the inner process, don't you think?
That's true. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And before I start going through your book, I have another question. If somebody wanted to use you, how do you charge people? What does it cost? What do they need to be prepared to pay out to get somebody like you to help them?
Media training is a process. So what I highly recommend is that first I have people create answer my questionnaire so I can see exactly where they are. And then the first thing that I do is I listen to the way that they speak naturally, and I hear the way, the rhythms and the way that they speak, and I start pointing out to them what's important in what they say, because most of the time people don't know. I do ask them to take them through a process to find out what's most important to grow their business, because your sound bites in the media is going to follow that. It's how you want to grow your business, both professionally and personally, and the kind of experiences and partnerships that you want, that's going to partly drive what you say as much as the information. That's part of the art of being media coached. It's not just being entertaining. It's not just being a guest that's being asked back. It's to make sure that every appearance is connecting with your audience, your tribe, in a way that matters to them and matters to you, so they become loyal followers, not just for one time, but forever. We're developing brands. So that's the first step. And then I ask them to start practicing the kind of stories, anecdotes, vignettes, and analogies that we've developed so they can integrate it naturally into a conversation. So that's part of the practice. And then we speed it up. We start to speed it up so it's fast, like a radio interview, and TV's even faster, but we start as if they were doing a print interview, and then speed it up to a speed that would actually take place, and then have them start to talk in 10 to 20 second sound bites. Yeah. And so you asked me what it cost, and so what it cost to begin with me is $2,000 for 4 hours.
Okay.
So that's the minimum that I've found that people need to make significant progress so they can feel somewhat comfortable.
And what would it cost for somebody to hire you to put them out there?
Well, that's so different from each person. I have a lot of clients who are on retainer, and some people pay $5,000 or $10,000 a month, depending on what they want and how fast they want their star to rise. I mean, I've had clients with me for 3 years who are fine. What they find is this particular person had an accredited university. He had a staff of people. He did seminars. He did radio shows and was writing a book. And what he found was that the training, my media training with him, affected all of those areas. He was more effective in his seminars, being able to speak more succinctly to the point. Mm-hmm. He could run his staff more effectively. And when he was interviewed, even he worked with a ghostwriter for his book, and when he was interviewed for his book, he could do his book a lot faster. So learning to soundbite has dramatic effects in a lot of other areas in your life. And then, of course, he was on national TV. So he's positioned in those 2 to 4 minute interviews where he can get his point out very quickly and under any circumstances and maintain his equanimity and feel calm and still get out the points that he wants. That's a real skill.
Yes, it is. The reason that I ask you that question is because every person that comes onto my show is usually a scientist and usually has a book about some alternative health remedy or some aspect of science that's new and on the cutting edge. And most of them, I guess the best way to say it is they're dry. You know, they don't know what to do.
That's kind.
You know, they don't know what to do, and they would like to get out there, but they don't have any idea if they can afford to get out there. And once if they do put up the money, does it usually turn out to be worth it in the long run?
Well, here's the thing. Yes, the answer is yes. And here's the thing. I have dealt with a lot of scientists and doctors, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And I had said to one person, one of my clients, she was an academic, and I said, you know, she didn't even speak English before she worked with me. And they go, well, what language did she speak? I said, science. It was science speak. And it was a process. Now she's been interviewed by the Wall Street Journal, Forbes, Inc., the New York Times. I mean, everybody has interviewed her, and she's a fantastic storyteller because I got her to the point of not speaking any kind of jargon. And that was a little bit of a process. Everybody's got their own process. But the first thing, my advice to scientists is tell a great story. Stories sell.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the very first thing. If you can tell us, we all want to know, how did you discover what you discovered?
Can someone do this themselves using your book, or are they more successful if they hire someone like you or Michelle Tennant? But I pick her because I do a lot of business with her.
Oh yeah, she's terrific. And they do, Wasabi does publicity, which is booking you in the media, which is really wonderful. Most people can't do their own media. And that's just a fact. There's so many, it's like saying, can I be a scientist? No, I can't. It's a skill in itself. You would ask me, you know, can I be my own doctor? Could I be my own scientist? Nope, I can't. That's why I pay people. The point is, I can give you some tips on how to practice on your own, but I can't do it in a book. So the first thing that you would want to do is record yourself, either videotape and record yourself, and start to get used to that process. The second thing is get a soundbite buddy, get somebody to practice with, and run what you think most important by them, like talk about, you know, have some questions, the 5 most pressing questions that you want to be asked. And then answer those questions, and then ask them what they remember. Do it for 2 minutes, and then say, what did you remember? And if they don't remember anything, you need to work on it. You need to work on it, making it so people remember what you say.
Okay, so let's start with the first chapter here. You have to get to the producers. How do you do that?
You do it by writing a fantastic pitch in about a paragraph and send it in through the website.
And what is a pitch?
A pitch is explaining why your topic should be on the show and why you're the right person to talk about it. So what that means is, what's your idea for what you're going to talk about on the show, and why is it of pressing interest now? And the most important thing about the pitch is your headline. You have to have a very strong headline in order to get the producers to even want to read further. They get thousands and thousands. I heard that they get Oprah's producers get 15,000 products a week.
I would imagine that could even be a day. How do they read them? Do they read them?
No, those are products, you know. Oh. And so pitches, I don't even know how many thousands that they get a day. There's a specific set of producers that are just set up to read through the pitches that come through the website.
How do you reach? I read somewhere in your book it's even better if you can get one on the phone. How would you do that?
It's nearly impossible today because Oprah's the receptionist won't put you through. So the best thing to do is to pitch through the website. But the thing is, if you have a publicist, they have a relationship with the producer and they can get through. But if you're doing it on your own, the best way is to pitch it through the website and get them to call you. And then once they call you, make sure that you get their direct number and their direct email address so you can communicate directly with them.
And Oprah has teams of experts. Now, how do you know which team of experts, or how would you get the attention of a team of experts?
Well, her team of experts, what I mean by that is that everybody has a beat. There's the health beat, the book beat, just like you, you're in the medical science beat. The groups of producers specialize in those areas too. But in today's marketplace, because it has changed a lot, Eva, it's just because of the internet and because they're so overwhelmed, it isn't easy to get through. You're not going to get through by phone. So it is through the pitch. So you don't need to worry about which team it is. You just need to be very conscious about creating something that's going to be of intense interest to them that nobody else can pitch.
And does each producer have a blog, or is there just one main blog?
Oh no, they do have blogs. So you can follow the blogs, and I do. They don't keep them up as much as they they started them a while back. But I would absolutely pay attention to what the producers are doing on their blogs, and if you have the time, go into the forums. The other thing that you can do that I highly recommend is take a look at what Oprah's producers are looking for now. It's posted on the website. They're saying, what kind of shows they're looking for at this very moment. So if you can pitch that to an angle, you know that there's a need right now for that.
When you write them, should you tell your story and should you discuss? Okay, so how should you approach them?
No, you should approach it by the not that it's not about you, it's not about your book, product, or cause. What it is about, why whatever it is you have is of interest to the audience. So you want to tie that into the audience. So, for example, one of my clients went from from dumpster diver to, I can't remember the headline right now. She went from being a dumpster diver to a millionaire, essentially, homeless to a millionaire. So what we talked about is the state of how many homeless women. We told the story, and we told the story in one line of each of the other women who went from homeless to happy. And, to having productive jobs. An example of an interesting story. One went from sleeping in a park to then having a top government position overlooking that park.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah, that's an amazing story. So that was in one line that we used as one of the women who were being included in the stories. Then what we did is looked at the larger perspective, which is, how many women are homeless today? Because Oprah's very concerned with women in education and all of that, so we wanted to target that. We got the statistics about how many women were homeless today who needed a home, and we're really proposing part of the charity that this woman was involved in is putting a roof over these women's heads and getting them to that position. So it wasn't just about her story, but it was about the larger story in society of women and how women and a lot of single moms, we touched on that too, are lacking in homes and jobs.
And could you talk about the importance of knowing your purpose? Because if you don't know your purpose, how can you get others to expect to understand it?
What do you mean by that, knowing your purpose?
Yeah, I mean, how can you get on there and talk about something if you don't really even know what your purpose is, if it's not a
focus? Well, you're not a candidate for Oprah if you don't know your purpose.
So how can you direct somebody to how to figure out their purpose in a focus paragraph?
Well, it's not about figuring out your purpose when you're on Oprah. What it's about is, do you have a story or do you have a skill or knowledge that's going to be of help to her audience? Do you have a following? Have you already helped people? Have you already proven that your system works? I mean, if you look at the kind of people that Oprah has on, it's people who have already developed enormous expertise.
And how do you get that across to them in your initial pitch?
Well, one of the things that you want to do is categorize and quantify. How many years have you been doing what you've done? How much success have you had in numbers? You know, when I sent you my bio, for example, you know, I've been doing PR for 20 years. So what kind of success have I had? You know, my clients have been on Oprah, 60 Minutes, you know, CNN, MSNBC, and Forbes, Fortune, you know, on and on and on. So you've got quantity, how long you've been doing something. You've got quality, top shows. And then you have who you are as the kind of results that you've had for people.
Now, once you fill out the form on Oprah's page, do you follow up?
There's no way to follow up in that regard.
Do you send them? Because in your book, you say the more times they hear your name, the more likely they are to contact you.
You want to come up with another angle or another idea from a different perspective. If they haven't responded, most likely, at least at that point, they're not interested. I've had clients who've sent it in an hour later, gotten a call. So if it's not striking them, it's either the angle or you, or they've already got people for the topic that you're proposing. There's a whole number of reasons why you may not be called back. But what you want to do is come up with another idea, another angle, and create another pitch.
Okay. I had an experience one time. I sent an article into Oprah Magazine, and a few months went by, and then one day I just had a baby, and I was, you know how you're tired when you have a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And someone called and said, "We almost picked your article for Oprah Magazine this month, and we just wanted to let you know." But I was such in a dead sleep. You know, I couldn't. It was like one of those deep sleeps, like right after, you know, when you have a baby and you're so exhausted. So I wasn't able to get her name or do anything to follow up.
Oh, no, that's so disappointing.
For the rest of my life, I regretted that.
That's so sad. And, of course, you didn't remember because you were in a fog.
Yeah, exactly. So what do you do when you're in a fog?
What you do in a situation like that when you're not in a fog is if somebody calls and they say you almost used it, what you want to do is engage in a quick conversation. I'm curious as why you didn't use it. That's the first question, and then you would have more information, and then you could say and engage in a conversation, you know, I have a lot of other stories. Are you open to hearing another one as soon as it's ready? And then you get the name and number, and then you send them the new story. I do have a colleague right now who did exactly that, had an idea for Oprah, and it wasn't quite right, and she got the invitation to submit another idea. So it's about engaging in a conversation. It's not a one-time kind of thing, especially at the level of Oprah, because of O Magazine as well, because the people who get in there are pretty established writers, pretty experienced writers like yourself.
So what are 10 questions?
For the writing of the article. That's different than getting a product in there.
So you say there are 10 qualities of an Oprah candidate. What are they?
Well, one of them is that you are very nimble and flexible on your feet, that you can go with the flow and you can hang with changes. Because even if a show is established, it can change at any time. And you may have all of your sound bites down and ready, which happened to one of my clients, by the way. We had prepped her for a show and she had already been taping for 14 hours for 3 days and they changed the angle of a show. And she called me on a Saturday saying, "We need new sound bites." And she was already a pretty experienced guest, so we whipped up some new sound bites and did that. So you need to be flexible in the moment to be able to go with the flow.
When you say your sound bites, does that mean you need to have something prepared in advance?
Oh, yeah.
Tell
you need to
that.
Know exactly what you want to. When I was talking to you about working with people, it's like, what are the most important things for your audience to know? What are those 6 points that are in the form of stories or anecdotes or statistics that you want to convey to the audience that are most important to you and to them?
So do you hold on to those and wait until they call you, or do you send them to them somehow?
Oh, no, it comes out through, there's a pre-interview process for Oprah. You'll go through, if you don't pass through the first one, you're done. So if you don't have your sound bites down when the producer calls and they think you're boring, you don't go on to the next level, period. So you have to have your sound bites down. You have to be fascinating before the phone ever rings.
Okay, so you would tell them this, and I know this sounds like stupid questions, but it kind of is because this is such a foreign topic to me.
Sure. No, not at all. I don't mind at all.
So you have little, how long should your sound bites be?
Anywhere from 10 to 30 seconds max.
And do you have this recorded for them, or are you just ready to say it to them on the phone?
No, it's got to sound natural, like it's a conversation.
Okay.
So so it would be like you're interviewing me right now, the kinds of things that I'm saying. I'm telling little stories, and I'm giving you some information. These are things that I, you know, some of which I've prepared, not all, because this is spontaneous conversation, but I have certain points that I've thought about that I want to get out no matter what you ask me.
Okay. So can you tell us about promotional tools like Dan Janel's PR Leads, Radio TV Interview Report, Press Kit 24/7? What are those things, and how and why would you use them?
Yeah, when we talked about, I had wanted to touch on this when we talked about becoming an expert. Anybody can start to become an instant expert today. And you can do that by joining PR Leads, Dan Janel's service PR Leads, and also Peter Shankman's Harrow Helper Reporter Out and PitchRate. These are all, the two services are free, Harrow and PitchRate, and PR Leads is worth every dime that it has. It has different leads by different porters. And so what they are is it's a service whereby reporters and producers send in queries, and queries are stories that they're working on that they need guests like you for. So you know that they have a particular story and they're requiring an expert, and if you have the information that they're asking for, you contact them and give it to them in a very short form. Then they will either call and interview you either on the radio or on TV or in print, and then you're quoted or profiled or featured in that. And
okay.
That can happen as quickly as a couple days.
Interesting. So you also talk about the rock band strategy. What is that?
Oh, gosh, you know, help me out here because I've practically forgotten what that is. I've totally forgotten what that is, you know. So
go back to your book and say I just made up questions.
Yeah, no, that's great. The rock band strategy, I'm going to make up something on the spot for your audience because they don't actually remember what it is, and this is what you should do too. The rock band strategy, I would say, is to give all of the kind of flash and bang that you can, which means a lot of what you're doing needs to be packaged properly, which I touched on a little bit. And so I remember at the end of a Who concert where it was probably Keith Richard burned his guitar,
mm-hmm.
You know. So you want to create some kind of drama. TV in particular is very dramatic. And you want to be able to create some kind of excitement and drama where people are going to say, we are never going to forget when Keith Richards, burned his guitar. I just heard about Jim Morrison, the story behind Jim Morrison pulling down his pants on stage and being, right? He's now been excused from his indecent exposure as he's dead. Well, Ray Manzera, I forgot how to say his last name, the guitarist said that he actually never exposed himself. It was all an illusion. But the audience went nuts because, oh, my God, they're going to get to see what's in Jim Morrison's pants in person? And he teased them with that. You want to see what I've got in here? They're all like, yeah, yeah. And he's like, take a look. But he never showed it.
So when they call you, would you have a need for a press kit?
Yes, you need to have your press kit already ready and a demo video on your site that's at least 30 seconds.
And what would you say someone should include in a press kit?
Okay, a press kit first would have your bio, why you're an authority in your field. That's number one. Number two, you have a pitch letter, which is what is the topic and what's the segment that you're going to talk about. And you can, any one of your guests can make themselves more of an authority by using some statistics that are relevant to their field that shows that they're particularly knowledgeable. So, for example, I could tell you that 93% of communication is nonverbal, which means that we're picking up messages from each other long before the person's ever opened their mouth. So, particularly on TV, your visual impression is one of the most important things. People will judge you in less than 3 seconds and make a decision whether they like, trust, respect, and will buy from you. So by saying things like that, you begin to position yourself as an authority. The other thing you need in your press kit is they do want to, particularly for TV, they have to see how you look. And it has to be a current picture. It can't be one that's 10 years old and you're, you know, 50 pounds heavier. That doesn't work. So you need to have pictures. You need to have a press release or a pitch letter, your bio, and then a demo video of about 2 minutes that shows that you can speak in 10 to 20 second sound bites interactively.
So in the video, what would you say? Would you tell some of what you have to say? Would you tell about yourself? What would you say?
It would be like an interview, like you doing an interview right now, only it would be like for a TV interview. The kind of questions you create, the kind of questions that you want to be asked that will lead you into your information, that would sound like a TV interview.
Would you get someone to interview you, or would you just do it by yourself?
No, you would get someone to interview you.
Okay.
So it's got to be interactive, and or get booked on a local TV show so you'll have a clip.
Okay. And what are some of Oprah's favorite topics today? So people don't waste their time sending in stuff that's obviously not going to be chosen.
You know, here's the one topic that she's fascinated by and hasn't seemed to be able to master, and that's the quote-unquote diet, but not the diet in the old way, meaning food. The diet in the new way, which is your mindset. Is there a new, I mean, now she's worked with Marianne Williamson to have a new diet plan, right, you know, that has to do with, you know, getting back to your own, you know, like souls and intentions. It's a very deep, you know, process. It's not about, are you going to eat that taco? So that's going to be an enduring topic about being beautiful inside and out. The other enduring topic is the education and well-being of women. Now, in particular, now what she's been focusing more on, I mean, education is always a hot topic, but she's also focusing on the menopause, the perimenopausal woman, because that's what she's going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the health of women today. That includes sex. You know, that was not a topic that she dealt with 10 years ago. And now, you know, Laura Berman's bringing on, let's call it equipment, on the air, you know, showing women the latest things and how to achieve their own and pleasure with or without a man, right? I don't know what we can say on the radio here, so we'll use euphemisms. I think people have the idea. So she's dealing in the sexual realm of women, too, the sexual health and well-being of women and their happiness.
And how do you determine a good catch line? I mean, give us some examples, if you don't mind.
You mean like of a good headline?
Mm-hmm.
If
you can bring one up quickly in your head.
Yeah, one is like, okay, if we're talking about like the health of your kids, too, because that's an enduring topic, how a sandwich can kill your kid on the playground.
Okay,
that's a good one. That's a good one. You always want to start with the negative. And then move to the positive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that gets twice as much attention, a negative topic. So another topic might be, you know, and I'm just making this one up, but how to achieve an orgasm in 10 seconds with or without a man. Would that get your attention?
Yeah. What about when people are talking about mind-body issues?
You want to have something that's very concrete because mind-body can be very abstract. So you always want to start with something very, very solid. So it would be, if you're talking about a mind-body issue, you might talk about how you can change your brain in 5 minutes a day.
Okay. And what are some of the common mistakes made when people are trying to get on Oprah?
Well, I think the biggest one is blabbing too much. They just tell everything and they don't know how to focus their information. You really want to either keep it to very simple one point so they get it right away, or you want to bring up a number of topics that you can discuss.
One of the problems that I find when people come on my show also that I have to feel obliged to mention is that they let silence come in. And the host, Oprah, I guess it would be, or me, is sitting, ask you a question, and you answer in a word and sit there and stare at me.
Yeah, and you said that in the beginning. You said, Susan, don't let there be any silence. I'm thinking there's no problem with me being any silence. It's about really managing your own time, because for every question that you're asking of a person, they should be able to spend an hour answering it, but they need to know what is appropriate for the audience right now and respect the time frame. And it might be helpful for you to tell them, you know, ahead of time, I really want you to talk for 20 to 30 seconds each time, or 10 to 30 seconds each time, and or talk until I interrupt you.
Yeah, I hate it when I ask somebody a question and they say yes, and that's it.
Oh, my God, that's got to be heart-wrenching for everyone, because that's not interesting.
No, it's not. So I think it's important that you be prepared with whatever your material. I interviewed a woman the other day about a book that she wrote, and the book was excellent. But what I found out is that somebody else wrote a lot of the chapters in her book, and she was not familiar with them.
Oh, no.
So there was a lot of silence, and I had to rescue her from that interview.
Well, that's because you're a good interviewer. And there's some, and of course, Oprah would always rescue you, but not every interviewer will. You can't count on that either. The cardinal rule for everyone out there who wants to be in the media is it is entirely 100% your responsibility to get out the information that you want your audience to know. It doesn't matter what the host asks you. It doesn't matter how the host acts. It doesn't matter how mean anybody is to you. It's up to you to maintain your equanimity and your duty to give your audience what they came for. It's your duty.
Now, you also talk about 5 secrets copywriting pros use to create headlines. What would that be?
Well, one would be the sentence that is shocking. And you could also, so something that totally surprises people, something that we didn't know. Like, do you remember when that study came out that if you're, this would be of interest to Oprah too, you know, if you're fat, most likely, if your friends are fat, most likely you're going to be fat?
Yeah.
Yeah. So those kinds of things are really fascinating. So you want to either ask a question, why is it that, you know, Americans are fatter than Europeans? A question like that, or a shocking statement like, did you know that most cosmetics are, made from, or there's lots of the most popular cosmetics out there are made with pig intestines?
Oh, I feel that way about bioidentical hormones.
I'm sure you have got an opinion about that. Yes.
Yeah.
That's when I mentioned pig. Right.
You know, that's one of my issues is people take bioidentical hormones and they think just because they're getting them that they're bioidentical. Yeah, they're bioidentical from a pregnant horse's urine. Do you want that or plant hormones?
Mm.
So that's, I fully understand that. Okay. So when you present your pitch to Oprah's producers, you talk about the personal touch helps you cut through the noise. What do you mean by that?
I mean, it's about really thinking small, and I think really 2 things. If you are very in tune to what they're doing on the show and you create a relationship out of that, meaning I noticed that you've had shows on this topic for 3 weeks now, and I have a different opinion or a different idea to add to that and to create a different conversation. Shows that you've been really paying attention to what they are. Journalists love this too, by the way. You say, I've read, like before the New York Times interviewed me for the style section. So before I got on that interview, I pulled up all the articles, the most recent articles of that reporter, and began to read. I wanted to understand her beat and what interested her. So then when we started to have a conversation, I could say, you know what? I loved this article that you talked about how Facebook is really, we're getting all kinds of statistics now and understanding how people are interacting in social ways that we never knew before. I said that was a really fascinating article.
So when you participate in Oprah's blogs, do they pay attention to what you say there? Do they notice you there?
That's a great question. I think it depends on the quality of your post. Just like everything else depends on the quality of you as a person. If you start saying interesting things and they can see that you are a leader and that you're creating a conversation that's worthwhile, you'll get noticed anywhere. I mean, that's criteria for getting noticed anywhere, not just on a blog. But they do, what I can tell you is they do monitor the blogs very closely. So if you did start getting a following that way, and you know that may be a way. I haven't yet heard of anybody getting on the show through the blogs, but you know, I've got my finger on that pulse.
Mm-hmm. And you also list in your book the names of her contacts at Oprah. Do you suggest people sending things to them directly, or do you just merely suggest that they fill out that form on her page?
They can send things directly to those people. I did that mainly I did not give the direct email or phone numbers of the producers, because that's not that information is not, how shall I say, it's paid. It's information that certain databases have you pay a lot of money for. And also, I didn't want her producers to be overwhelmed with inappropriate information.
Yeah, I'm sure they wouldn't be happy with you, too.
They would not be happy with me if I did that. So I did not, in the ultimate guide, list the direct email or phone numbers for that reason, because most people don't understand how to approach them, and it wouldn't be fair. If you do have a direct name and email address, most of the time they prefer to be contacted, particularly the magazine. O Magazine, most of them want to be contacted via email. And I did list those names and how to contact them in Get Into O Magazine, because that is appropriate.
That was going to be my next question. Let's talk about the magazine for a few minutes. So what would be the first thing that you would do if you want to get published in O Magazine?
The first thing to do
other
is to be
stay awake when they call.
Well, to be intimately familiar with the magazine, to know exactly where you fit in, so you pitch the appropriate person. Because there's different ways. You're asking from a writer's perspective. Most people are not looking to get their writing in O Magazine. Most people are looking to get themselves featured in the magazine, or a product featured in the magazine. So they're two different processes. Because in order to get an article in O Magazine, you already have to be a really great writer, and then you need to pitch a topic or idea. Typically, it's called a query. You say, I've got an idea for a story, what about this? And then they need to know that you've already been published in established places before they'll consider you. Because they don't take inexperienced writers for the most part there. They're taking writers who have a track record and a name. That may not have been the case for you many years ago, but it certainly is the case today. So I'm not sure if you're asking about that process, but then the process of getting featured in the magazine as a product or service or cause or for yourself, that's, again, a positioning, that same kind of pitch, and positioning it for a particular place in the magazine, a particular section in the magazine, to understand what it is that, so for example, if you're pitching a product, you're sending in a picture of the product, an explanation of that. And if you've got a fascinating background, which I highly recommend, as you, the entrepreneur of creating that, then you pitch your story behind creating that product. Does that make sense?
Yes. Now, another question I had was, you talked about getting like somebody that's already well-known attached to your name. So let's say that you had... I don't know what you call them, but you had little blurbs from people that
testimonial?
Are already... Excuse me?
Testimonials?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's the right word. Would you include that in what you send them?
Yes, I would, because what happens is that you've then got instant credibility when someone else has already said, I trust this person, I like this person. That's why we put all of those blurbs on the back of books.
Exactly. So would you send that in an email, or would you send that in via snail mail so that they would actually
There's
have
no
it in
snail
their hand?
Mail anymore, really. I mean, a lot of it because of the anthrax stuff, a lot of that's not even being picked up. Of course, if you've got a product that you want to send, you would send that. But the best way to get your product sent is to send the pitch first and get invited to send your product. That's a better way than just sending it willy-nilly, because oftentimes if you send it willy-nilly and it's really delicious or it's really cute, it may never get to the editors. It may never get past the receptionist desk.
Okay. Now, we've got about 10 or 15 minutes left. Tell us what you think we should know that I've not already asked you.
Well, I think one of the things to really do before you ever approach Oprah is to get your media chops down. You can't run a marathon without walking a mile. So, at a lot of miles for Oprah, which is you really want to get practice on local media. You want to get the rhythm, the pacing, the sense of what it is to be on TV, and that takes a lot of practice. So start small, start in your own neighborhood, and really think about, before you ever approach the media, what it is you're going to be giving to your audience and getting your sound bites down. So that's really number one. Number two is don't set your sights on Oprah.
Now, let me just share something personal with you about my radio show. I get hundreds of emails asking to come on my radio show, and I don't know why, but it bothers me when I open an email and it starts telling me how great they are. So I immediately hit the delete button. I am this, and I am that, and I am this, and I'm all powerful. And I don't know. For some reason, that turns me off. Is that normal, or is it just me?
No, it's not just you. That makes no sense at all to create a pitch that way, because it's not looking at it from the perspective of you. When you're looking to pitch you, you say, what does Eva Hare need and want, and how can I address that? And what do I have that fits in with her? Because what it is you're trying to match your skills with your meaning the person who's pitching skills, with your audience. So, you know, those kinds of things are very, very specific, right? And so what you want is a topic or...
Yeah, that's what I want. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, you want a topic.
Other than just telling me how great they are or telling me they can talk to angels. You know, I get a lot of things like that for some reason, even though I have a science show. So I guess one thing I'm asking is, I have a specific format for my show. Is it important that you pay attention to format?
Yes, absolutely. Every agent for a book has a format. Every show has a format. You want to, before you ever approach any show, you want to understand how they want the material packaged. And then you want to package it exactly that. Remember we talked in the beginning about packaging and perception? And that's really key. I had one client, for example. She had already she's really wonderful, marvelous, and incredible. She makes cakelets. They're cakes that fit in the palm of your hand. And they're these amazing designs. I mean, she can make anything. Even guys have proposed to their women with a cakelet that's in the shape of a ring and like a velvet box. And, you know, so she can make cakelets out of anything. Well, she had tried to get publicity on her own to no avail, nothing. When I worked with a publicist and we sent out one press release, we got 50 calls. And one of them was USA Today. And she was just booked on the Food Network. She's going to be on Extreme Mardi Gras in March. She said, oh, my God, I have been trying to do this for a year, and I had no idea. It's about being properly packaged in such a way to get the media attention. We had no trouble getting her. In fact, we were overloaded with requests that we had to turn down because she couldn't possibly get samples for everybody.
So that brings up another question. How do you prepare a proper press release? And then when you do, what do you do with it?
Well, that's where Dan Janelle has a really great service, too, because one of his services that he uses called Guaranteed Publicity gets you placed on 50 of the major sites because it's properly done and it's SEO, search engine optimized, so those sites will use it. So when you write a press release, it's written, again, in the perspective of what is the culture, what do people in the culture need to know now, and why am I the answer to that? So that's when you said about people bragging about themselves, it's not about bragging. It's about connecting your skills to your topic to prove that you're the person that's best suited to discuss that.
And how do you find out which publishers specialize in each particular area?
Well,
which one would be best for you? How do you find that?
Well, through research and also through, I mean, you can always do a Google search, but then the best way is also by referral to know. I mean, a lot of people that come through my contact form, I have different publicists that I work with, so I refer them to the one who I think is the best match. Because publicists, you want to research publicists who specialize in your field and who have a great track record and who have a great relationship with the media. So there's a couple of different things that you want to be looking for. For example, it doesn't necessarily have to be exactly in your genre. Like with this woman who does the cakelets, I'm not necessarily working with a food publicist, although I could have. But I worked with a publicist who is extremely effective and who loves food and who's written a lot about food.
Okay.
Does that answer? Have I answered your question?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So do you do any connection with promoting people's books?
Oh, yeah. Every expert, pretty much all the experts eventually write a book because it's a way to establish your credibility like no other. So most of my clients have or will be writing books to deepen their credibility. It's a way, with a major publisher, I'm not talking about self-published books because that's not the same kind of credibility at all. It's about getting a major publisher to publish your books. But it's a way of it's your calling card for higher speaking fees. It's your calling card for being an expert. And hopefully, if you've written your own book, like you had that woman who somebody else wrote her book, well, she darn well should have read it.
I think she read it, but she didn't get it. I mean, she didn't understand the depths of it. She could repeat the sentences that were in there, but when I asked her deeper questions on that one sentence, I don't know, was her answer. And it's humiliating to get on the air, I'm sure, on television and have to say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
Yes. Yes. I mean, you should never, ever say, I don't know, unless it's not within your realm, but a much better thing to say is, I don't know about that, but what I do know is, and you immediately bridge to something that you do know, so you're talking about something that's of interest to the audience, because that is what your responsibility is when you're booked on a show.
Okay, we've got two or three more minutes. I want to save 1 minute at the end for you to repeat where people can find you. But my question is, how do you get a publishing company to look at your book?
You don't get a publishing company to look at your book. You have to get an agent.
Okay.
So you have to get a literary agent first. And I did write a book called Get a Six-Figure Book Advance, which has a proposal template in there and how to find the right agent for you. That's in that information as well, because it is very important to find the right agent for you. And it's about how to package your information properly for an agent. At prsecrets.com, you can also, if you're not ready to move forward with actually reading an ebook or anything like that, I have plenty of free information where you can sign up for, particularly for being a soundbite genius. I have a free audio and transcript to how to become a 60-second soundbite genius that you can, if you go to prsecrets.com, right on the right, and there's a little burst that says PR sound, soundbite course. You can click on that, and you can start there with some free material. And because I suggest everybody's at a different level, start somewhere. And, start where you are, but start somewhere. And that's a really great place to start, because whatever kind of publicity you need, you're going to need to be able to speak about your book, business, product, service, or cause.
As your contact information, can people email you?
They can. I have a contact form where it says contact me. If they want an appointment, they'll use the appointment form. If they want to actually work directly with me, and if they have a question, they can fill out the other form.
Okay. I can't recommend enough getting this book even if you don't want to get on Oprah, if you just want to get yourself out there in the world, because it has so many tips. It's almost overwhelming. You have to read it two or three times to get it all. It's a great book, Susan. Thank you. I don't know how you ever put all of this stuff together.
Well, thank you. Well, I did it because people really needed it. And if they do follow the 10 or 15 steps, this works for any top TV show. So it's not just for Oprah. It's specifically created for Oprah, but this will help you understand what all media needs at all level, and particularly at the top levels. And so I highly recommend that you start where you are, and if it seems like a little bit much, start small. I really recommend that everybody start small, which is in your own backyard. Call your local TV station, call your local newspaper, and start there.
And who do you ask for if you call a TV station or a radio station? What person?
Well, it's the person who specializes in what your area is. So if you've got a feature about food, you call the food editors.
Okay.
If you've, yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. Thank you, Susan, for taking the time to come on my show. I know it's something that all my listeners want to know because they all have books, and I know they're all trying to get out there. So thank you. I appreciate your time. I appreciate your putting together this marvelous book, and hope you'll maybe think about coming back sometime.
I would love to. I have no, you know, and there won't be any dead space.
You're great, Susan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Night.
Hi, this is Elliot Dasher, author of Integral Health. Integral Health. Integral Health. You can hear me and others speaking about consciousness and health. Just tune in every Sunday evening at 7 p.m. to Infinite Consciousness with Eva Harris.